Welcome to Pet Chats on 2NURFM. Greg Richard joined by Cheryl and Fiona. Good afternoon.
How are you, Greg?
Very good. Nice to be back.
It is, isn't it?
I would say this is the dream team, to be able to be honest, but that's
well, we're not going to argue with you.
That's right. Dream team we are.
What have we got for us today, Cheryl? You got a dog badge today. I was going to say it looks like a dachshund, but it's not.
It does. It's a, sort of a short hair, short-legged little dog, but he's being really naughty. He's barking and lunging. So I thought I'd talk about, does your dog lunge at the television?
Oh, well, it depends what's on the TV, probably.
That's right. It does.
Maybe if it's another dog of mine.
Yep. So your dog doesn't do that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. What about yours, Fiona?
Our current two don't, but our one that we used to have, he, if there was dogs on the TV, he'd be pretty interested.
Yeah. So we're going to discuss dogs lunging at the television.
I'd say the ears perk up where he gets like there's a tension over it, but he hasn't lunged at the TV.
That's good.
Full ball yet.
Yet.
Yet. Potential that might happen one day.
Hopefully not, for your television's sake.
Oh, I can't afford another one, so.
Well, I'm sure Cheryl will give us lots of tips.
Cheryl, you mentioned the brochure before about sort of dogs playing up a bit.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting thing when we watch TV. Most people that watch TV, if they have a dog that's reactive, they're going to know about it because any time an animal goes on the television, whether it be a dog or a cat or, you know, a camel, whatever crosses the screen, for some dogs it just drives them insane. And why it happens, it's their predatory instinct. So they see something cross the screen and they just get that, I need to chase that and get rid of it. It's a little bit like those dogs that chase the mailman or the postman. He arrives, the dog goes out and barks, and the postman leaves. So for the dog, it's really fulfilling. They think that they've invented a job and they've got rid of the intruder. That's the same with the television set. The dog sees this image, and there's so much going on the television. I mean, we've got the images of the animals or different things happening. We've got lots of sounds. We've got lots of, you know, flashing lights. And this can stimulate some dogs, and they get, when they get overstimulated, they react. So what happens, they will obviously, you know, bark, or they will start to, when it really fulfills their need, they'll start to actually bite or lunge at the television. So this is where we really need to make sure as owners that we're stopping this behaviour from happening. Obviously the dog can injure itself as it's trying to do this. It can run into furniture, but also it can damage the TV. The TV could fall onto the pet as well. So we need to make sure that we don't encourage it. And I say that because some people find it particularly funny. They encourage the dog, or, you know, there's something on the television and they'll say, hey, sketch that, or, you know, get that. This behaviour we don't want to encourage, because that overstimulation for the dog is really bad for its health. And we need to keep the dog as calm as we can. So by limiting the access the dog has to the television, if you do have a reactive dog, making sure that you either are putting some furniture in the way, or you're using a baby gate, something like that, just so that the dog doesn't get access to the television screen, because it will fulfil the need that it's chasing that whatever it is. So if we can remove the dog from that situation, it will be a lot better. The other thing is, often people laugh at it. They think it's particularly funny. Now, encouraging and laughing is not on. We need to address it. It's a behavioural issue, and we need to make sure that we calm the dog down. So a couple of ways is by getting a settling mat, putting your dog on the mat when you're watching television, maybe giving it a treat or a Kong, something like that, so that it can just learn to settle. Because, Fiona, this is one of the things, isn't it? We need to get them calm and relaxed.
Yeah, it, absolutely. Because, as you say, you know, it's cute the first time it happens, maybe the second time it happens. If it escalates from there, it definitely is not cute.
Yes.
And, yeah, as you've said, we need to redirect them. We need to calm them down. We need to have positive rewards for calm behaviour in those sorts of situations.
Yeah, and definitely. I think this is something that, you know, as I said, people often think it's particularly funny, but the health of the dog is so important, that mental health. So sometimes you may not be giving your dog enough stimuli. It may not be getting enough exercise as well. So, you know, sometimes you might need to readjust your lifestyle. Maybe the dog needs to go out more. Maybe it needs to do a few more things. So it's being, its needs are being met. But, you know, certainly those animals that come on. And when you look at the television, if you sit back and take note, just have a look how many dogs appear in ads on television. It's so crazy. Yep. So if you've got a dog that's reactive, every ad break it's going to be sitting there waiting to go lunge at the television. And obviously this is something we need to try to avoid if we possibly can, just to help the TV and the dog's mental
and also
health.
Just as you said, Cheryl, if you know it's the ad breaks and it's likely to be the ad breaks, maybe mute the ad breaks, or maybe put your dog on a lead in the ad breaks, or the treats come out in the ad breaks. Yeah. It depends what they're reacting to. Yep. If they're reacting to the image, it's not going to help.
Yep.
But if they're a little bit reactive to the image and then a lot reactive to the noise, as a combination, you're likely to get a worse response from the pet. And maybe that's a way to desensitize them to it as well, you know, to mute it so that they haven't got the stimuli of the noise, and then they can slowly get used to the images with positive reinforcement involved as well.
And because that is the thing, one of my dogs, he'll hear a particular, you know, noise or sound that, of an ad, and he'll come from the room that he's in to see the television to see what's going on. Oh, that's the trigger for him. That is that sound.
It's the noise. Yeah.
So, you know, we just got to be mindful of, you know, what is setting them off, and then trying to get that calmness back and just pull that down so that they're not having these aggressive episodes at the television.
Yeah, it's probably not going to end well if they're really amped up with it.
Yep.
Yeah. Whether it's injured dog or injured television or both.
Well, yeah. TVs aren't as thick as what they used to be.
No.
Well, used to be big chunks.
They were hard to knock over before.
Yeah.
Probably much easier to knock over now.
Now a cool breeze, a gentle breeze could probably knock one over at the moment. So.
Let alone a dog that's got intention on, you know, rounding up whatever's on the television.
Yeah. And see, they're not being naughty. That's just their instinct.
The instinct.
And this is what we've got to remember. It's not that they're trying to, you know, to do something that's, you know, out of
character.
They're
not trying to destroy the television.
Yeah. It's just that those instincts, they just kick in, and then we get that startled response as well. So,
well, I just said before, like, they're probably thinking, what's this? What are they doing in my house? What are they doing here?
Correct.
Yes. Yes. The intruder.
You're not
to get rid of the intruder.
So I just mentioned maybe a few people might be out walking their dogs today, but you both snapped at me.
Went, no, don't do that.
So you're not walking your dogs now.
Look, we got to be mindful of what the temperature's, not only the ambient temperature, but also the temperature underfoot. You know, if you've got a dog who's basically walking in their bare feet, you've got to be able to put your palm on the concrete or the bitumen for 5 seconds and still be comfortable with your hands. If your hands get uncomfortably hot, then that's exactly what's going to happen to your dog's feet.
Right, because straight away everyone puts shoes on as well, don't they? So they're not thinking about.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct. So ambient temperature, underfoot temperature, but also a good analogy that one of my colleagues uses is don't walk your dog in business hours. So kind of think in your head 9 to 5. On those hot days, you need to be walking before 9 or after 5, because otherwise we're putting our dogs under a little bit too much physiological stress. If you have a dog that's a brachycephalic dog, which is the really short-faced dogs like French bulldogs and pugs, that sort of thing, they have a whole different set of rules because they are extremely at risk of heat stroke. Mm-hmm. So for them, it has to be even cooler.
Right.
So like really early in the morning or quite late when it's really cooled down.
Oh, so at night time?
Yes, Greg. The sun does not have to be up in order to walk your dog.
Well, just, you know.
It's nicer to walk during daylight hours, but when it's hot, we do just have to be a little bit mindful of, a couple of things to think about with our pets. But a good rule of thumb is outside of work hours. And if it's a hot day and you're not quite sure, pop your hand on the bitumen. And if it's really quite warm, you need to leave it a bit longer.
Yep. I assume it's also a bit of common sense as well.
Look, you know, you could say that, but, you know.
Okay, I will say it's a bit common sense then. It's Pet Chat on 2NRFM. Let's move on. We've got Christine from Morissette. And it seems to be a feral cat jumping fences and destroying a plant.
No, he doesn't destroy the plants. He loves his cat grass. But he can climb trees. He can jump over a 6-foot gate. And he's climbed up my curtains. I now have, instead of blackout curtains.
So, Christine, is this your cat or is it a neighbourhood cat?
No, it's mine. I had a half rag doll.
My
husband had gone into the nursing home and I used to take her in to see him and everything. Anyway, I thought, with me going back and forth to the nursing home, I'll get another one, give her company. And they are good friends.
Yeah.
She'll go out. She's not a big jumper. She's never gone out, really, because she was an indoor cat. But him, as soon as I go out in the courtyard, because I've got gates and I close the roller door.
Yeah.
He heads straight for the gate and over he goes.
Yeah, okay.
And then a neighbour down the bottom in the village, he's gone out of pipe with it because it's on a lead. He won't let me put him on a lead. But he just... And now he's destroyed... I've got a weather thing on the front door.
Yeah.
And it's got the two rubber in enclosed under the door. He's chewing the rubber.
So do you think he wants to get out and about then, Christine? Is that your question?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's him telling me he's frustrated.
Yeah, look, the behaviour that you're describing definitely sounds, you know, we were talking about dogs before and, you know, enriching them, making sure they're having enough mental and physical stimulation, that sort of thing. For cats, it's exactly the same.
I realise that, but they've got a courtyard that they can stay in, and we're fixing up the back veranda and slowly cleaning the place out. And,
Wanting to keep the cat in your little courtyard, is that correct?
Yeah, I'd love to be able to let them both out in the courtyard because it gets the sun. Both of them lie there. And
sounds like a lovely, place to be. Look, I do have a couple of suggestions, Christine, a couple of things that you can try. I mean, cats are naturally explorers and wanderers and they don't particularly like being told what to do. They're not very good at listening to that sort of thing, but we can create an environment for them that's enriching but also safe. Now there are special little, they almost look like rotating poly pipes that you can mount on the top of a fence. And what it means is when the cat tries to jump up over the fence, they can't get purchase on the top of the fence and they can't get up and over the fence.
Yeah.
So they're a really, really fantastic idea. Also, you know, obviously keeping the neighbourhood wildlife and things safe, but also your cat safe and, you know, keeping him away from cars and other people and pets. And there is also another suggestion that I have that you can create a cat enclosure just with some, you know, some bird mesh. You can fence off, I don't know how big the courtyard is or how that would work in your situation, but there are ways where you can make that outside environment safer for them but also give him that outlet to be outside and exploring.
Yeah, he's a real, I call him mischief, but thirsty. He sits up on top of the freezer surveying his kingdom.
Yes, that he sounds very much full of mischief. But, yeah, I think in a case like him, enabling him to have some physical exertion of that energy is really important. So I think trying to make that out.
Also, he picks the dry food out of one of those bowls that stop him from gulping it, but he's still vomiting with it. He's just so, I think he's frightened he's not going to get his next meal. And I think that could be frustration too, because he thinks, oh, well, I've got to eat my dry food or my ordinary food, you know.
There are also, again, talking about sort of, you know, physical and mental stimulation, there are a number of different cat toys you can get that are interactive. So you can actually hide the food in them and they intermittently release it, you know, little mouse-shaped things and little balls that run across the floor and that sort of thing. So I think those sorts of things would be really good for him. But I wish you all the best with that, Christine. Sounds like you've got your hands full, but hopefully there's some ideas there you can work with.
I'm sorting out stuff. And he's sitting on top. I've got the dining table there with a couple of storage boxes. And he's on top of the storage boxes, isn't he?
Thanks for your call, Christine.
Dr. Fiona, I believe is it tick season?
Yes. Look, Greg, ticks can be found year-round, but we're heading into prime high tick season.
Right.
So sort of September to April are our really high-risk periods for tick paralysis for our cats and dogs.
So essentially the warmer months.
Correct, yeah. So particularly we're expecting a pretty bad season this summer because of how much rain that we've had, you know, so lots of rain, lots of moisture and then lots of heat and humidity. So, yes, be heading into battle season.
Is there any sort of way you can combat that besides the obvious methods of, I don't know, whatever tick medicine there is?
How do we prevent it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Prevention is easier, quicker, safer and cheaper than a cure. Mm-hmm. So prevention for preventing our pets from getting tick paralysis is really simple and really easy these days. There are so many preventative products out there that do a brilliant job of stopping our pets getting tick paralysis. And the way they do that is they kill the tick when it attaches to the pet. So there are options of annual injections for prevention for ticks for dogs, which is a really super exciting product that's been out in the last 12 months and is so easy for clients with dogs that maybe they forget their monthly chew or they're a few days late with their monthly chew. Yep. Well, that can be fatal for your dog if you're not careful. So the yearly injection is really exciting. Then we have monthly chewable tablets for dogs or 3 monthly chewables for dogs or spot-ons for dogs or spot-ons for cats. There's so many products out there, but I guess my take-home message would be make sure you know the treatment interval for the product that you use. Because, you know, we had a case in yesterday, a dog with tick paralysis whose owner had used a product, but she'd used a chew and she thought it was a 6-month product, but it's a 3-month product. So she was trying to do the right thing, but she just got the treatment interval wrong. So, so, so important. And every product that you buy will have the treatment interval on the packet. Right. So you just got to read the label.
Essentially, would you give yourself like reminders as well, like on your calendar or even on your phone now? Just
yes.
Give yourself like little
yes.
alarms and...
Yes, that's what I do. A lot of owners will, right, first of the month, they'll pick a day of the month and that's the day that you give your flea and tick preventative or your heartworm or your worming tablet. But pick a day and do not be a day late. You know, in high tick season, you know, if you're 2 days, 3 days late, that can be enough to give your pet tick paralysis. I use a reminder in my phone every month that that's the day the pets get their treatment and... The reminder stays in my phone until I do it because I will forget.
Yep.
We're only human.
Well, you're not carrying the packet around with you all the time as well. It's not going to be somewhere visually where you're going to see it. So
exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, I use a calendar. It works for me. But yeah, everyone's different. But you've got to have a reminder system and it's got to be something that works for you. Because, yeah, the consequences can be very dire. But there's a really easy, simple thing to do to prevent.
Righty. Yeah. So set reminders and... Essentially, that's it. Set reminders. That's basically the
main. Pick a product. You know, if you've got a dog, for example, that there are a few different monthly chews on the market, some dogs will like the taste of one and not like the taste of the other. So it's okay to switch between products. But again, as long as you're giving it at the interval that's required.
Ticks before, but obviously humans get ticks bites as well. And there's a bit of a difference between a human getting a tick bite than a dog getting a tick bite.
Yes. And I'll start by saying I'm not a human doctor. I'm a pet doctor. So yep. I'm not going to give you any human advice. But my understanding is we treat them very differently.
Yep.
Humans don't get tick paralysis in the same way that our pets get. People get much more in the way of tick-borne diseases, whereas our pets actually suffer from the neurotoxin released by the ticks. And if any part of that human stuff is wrong, then seek your doctor. But the pet stuff is definitely right. correct.
So how do you know if your dog has a tick bite, I guess, as well?
How do I know if my cat's had a tick bite?
Or dog or cat, either one.
Yeah, so there are some symptoms that are more common and they're mostly due to changes in the larynx at the top of the throat or movement in the weakness in the legs. So you can get weakness, you can get wobbliness in the back legs, you can get a cat or a dog that's reluctant to jump. Maybe they're normally a jumper and they can't jump or they won't jump. And then at the other end, the front end, we see noise, like an unusual noise associated with drinking or gagging or coughing, often a change in meow or a change in a bark. And then animals that are quite severely affected can often get respiratory changes as well. So really difficult breathing effort. Which can be quite dangerous. Yeah.
Can it affect their, this is out of the blue question, can it affect their like stomach or anything as well? Or?
Not commonly, okay. Not commonly. So the neurotoxin that the ticks inject while they are feeding affect your smooth muscles.
Yep.
So we most commonly see changes with, as we talked about, the pharynx and larynx and also weakness in the back legs. There can be bladder complications and respiratory complications as well. But if in doubt and you know you are not up to date with tick paralysis, tick prevention, then give your vet a call ASAP. And if it's after hours when the clinics are closed, don't wait till the morning. Call your local emergency centre and get your pet seen straight away.
Right, get on it quick. We've got Beth now from Fishing Point, and well, her dog's got an interesting diet.
Yes, she'll have sort of good entree every morning of possum poo.
Yes, all right. Beth, tell me more about your dog.
Well, she's 5.5-year-old Old English sheepdog, and she just seems to love going out and cleaning up after the possums every morning.
Yes, look, there must be something particularly delectable about it, Beth. I don't understand it personally, but
no.
My dogs are the same.
Oh, good. So they're not going to have any detrimental effect at all?
Like, look, not specifically, but what I would say 100% is make sure your dog's up to date with intestinal worming. Of the, we've just been talking lots about tick prevention, but there's also obviously intestinal worming prevention, which is quite important. So just ensuring that that's up to date would be, in my view, the most important and relevant thing to do. And, you know, otherwise, you know, you're probably not going to be able to get rid of the possums. But if you know they're going to, you know, hoover up a lot, maybe, you know, get onto the, you know, the broom, or, you know, get it out the way, or, you know, depending on how much there is. But it's not a particularly horrendous thing.
Oh, good. Okay. I just sort of was a bit, I know sort of the rabbit and the duck stuff she likes, but I thought the possum was sort of unknown.
Yeah, look, I'd pop it into the same category really, Beth. It's mainly just your intestinal worming that you want to keep up to date.
Yeah.
But you're probably not going to get your dog to grow out of that one.
All right, okay, as long as it's not going to really do any harm, that's the main thing.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't worry too much about it, Beth. Thanks so much for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
As long as it's washing its mouth out afterwards, I guess.
Yeah, maybe don't let your dog give you any kisses.
Yeah. We've got David now from Medford, and we're kind of touching this a little bit, but he wants to know if there's a 12-month tick vaccine for cats in development.
Hi, David.
How are you doing?
Yeah, great. Have you got a cat yourself?
Yeah, I've got a cat and a dog, and he gets a 12-monthly, just recently.
Excellent.
And she hasn't get a 12-monthly, so she's got to get every 3 months.
Yes. Yeah, so we have been incredibly lucky to have the dog tick vaccine available to us recently.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, David, there's not a cat one in development, but my gut feeling says it'll probably be something that comes out at some point, because there's a lot of overlap with the cat and the dog products. But to my knowledge, nothing in the process moment.
He goes walking, well, not at the moment, he's just had his knee surgery. He usually goes walking with me in the bush.
Yeah, okay.
And she doesn't go outside, but they intermingle when they're back inside.
Yes.
So that's why she's got to get a tick one anyway. But yeah, I meant to ask the vet the other couple of weeks back when we had them in for their injections, and I forgot all about it.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call today. To my knowledge, no, there is not, but you've touched on a couple of important things. Even though she's an indoor cat, she 100% needs protection against ticks because you're right, the dog mingles with the cat, you mingle with the cat, you walk through the bush and a tick attaches to your sock, and then it gets home and finds the cat, the washing basket, the laundry, you name it. So, yeah, keeping her up to date is, good on you, doing the right thing there.
All right,
too easy.
No, well, you've answered my question. Thank you very much.
No worries. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
It's Pet Chats on 2NUR FM 103.7. Just about time for another week, but time for our dog and cat of the week. And first up, it's Ellie.
Yes, Ellie's pretty cute. A goofy one-year-old boxer cross Staffy, and I think that picture sums her up in a nutshell.
Yep.
she does look very cute, very snuggly, loves her people, wants to be with her people, loves exercise, loves sunbaking. I think being a one-year-old, still very much needing to work on the training, because she'll be a big, strong, full of energy type pet. So definitely someone who's an experienced pet owner or has had big dogs before, had exuberant dogs before, because boxers, like, and stuffies for that matter, beautiful nature, but high end of the energy scale.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So, you know, someone who knows what they're getting in for. A high fence is a comment made in her bio, and older kids and a daily walk, which I think, to be fair, is what you should be doing. Yep. Anyway, with your pet. But yeah, she.
That's between 9 and 5, or no, the other side.
Not in work hours. yeah, so, you know, a daily walk plus a bit of training and fun in the backyard and enrichment. But yeah, she'd be a great pet for the right family.
Right. And our cat of the week is Bobby, a 2-year or a Christmas baby.
Born on Christmas Day. So he is coming up to 3. Handsome boy with little white socks and a white moustache, so pretty cute markings. Bobby's on the quiet side, sort of quiet, introverted, shy little soul, but will settle in and come out of his shell and be really keen for little chin rubs. And his foster carer says that he's sort of really coming out of his shell a bit at home. Loves snuggling up with his other foster cat friends. All so right. If you've got another cat, that may work nicely. But, yeah, some great options there.
All the information there is at 2NURFM.com.au. Guys, thank you very much, but we're out of time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.